Hello, I'm Dr. Thomas Unger, and welcome to today's Mental Health Minute podcast. Once again, I have with me Fern Quint, a mental health nurse with whom I work, and who is an excellent speaker and a motivational person, particularly around issues of mental health. Today, Fern is going to talk to us about self-reflection as something we can do to improve the quality of our lives through our emotional and spiritual lives and our mental health. So welcome once again, Fern, and we look forward to hearing about this topic.
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much. It's nice to be here with you again. As you mentioned, what I'm going to be talking about is some self-reflection. And I've done some reading, some studying, some living on talking about some of the things that we can do that improve the quality of our life, some questions that we need to ask ourselves. So one of the first things I think we need to look at is what makes life worth living for us? And as we think about life, do we look at the role that other people play in our life? What is it that gives us joy? What is it that gives us satisfaction? What are our relationships like?
Great. So this isn't so much about treating an illness or a problem as much as something that everybody can do just to reflect on their day-to-day quality of their life and how you might improve your mental health and wellness both preventively and just as a life strategy.
Absolutely. In fact, studies have shown that when you create a purpose for your life or a couple of purposes for your life and live according to your life purposes and values, you have a better quality of life. And there's some things that you can do to make that happen. Have you ever thought, for example, about what is the legacy that you would like to leave after you're gone? How would you like people to think about you?
I think I've started to think more about that. I think when people's age hits midlife, those are issues that are normal. At every stage of life, we have issues and things we deal with in the transition. And I think that's a very typical one of midlife.
And it's interesting because here we are, we're both, well, I don't know if you're midlife, but I'm certainly midlife. And in talking about life's purpose, I know for myself, my life's purpose changed. When I was younger, my purpose was to raise my children and to raise them to be healthy and happy, contributing members of society. Now that the middle years have hit, which you've so aptly pointed out, the purpose changes a little bit. The kids are older, they're doing well, they're independent. Now, my life's purpose has changed and to other things in my life, to career, to friends, to social, and to doing kind acts for others.
Interesting how they change for you based on the things you're dealing with. And I think that's very, again, quite typical as we come to different stages in our lives.
Absolutely. And I think what we need to do is there's some questions, more questions that we can ask each other. Have you ever imagined what you'd like to do with your life? It's important to take time to daydream. Take a little time every day and just daydream about things. Daydreams are your own. You can dream about anything in the world you want, whether it's something you've wanted to try that you've never tried, a hobby you've wanted to take up. It could be dancing classes. It could be volunteer work. Anything that you think would bring some joy and satisfaction into your life. You may want to enhance your family relationships, not quite like where things are at, but make them a little better, or do more things with friends. So it's up to each person to decide for themselves what makes life good for them and what happens, and they can take that out of their imagination and just imagine, and then you make that imagination a reality.
I know athletes, as part of their training, are encouraged to visualize and imagine what they would like to do, even if it's diving off a diving board and doing the two twists and then a flip over. So I think that it's very interesting how visualizing or imagining something is done both physically by athletes, and you're now suggesting emotionally and spiritually by a person in their life.
Oh, totally. In fact, I don't think we daydream enough. We live in such a busy, rushed society that we need to take time, take a few minutes, take a walk, and just daydream. Let your mind wander and see where it takes you. And what's really fun is that we can put ourselves in any situation we want in our daydream. It can be as crazy as we want, and it's just ours. And we never know when that will become a reality as well, in a positive way for ourselves.
Yeah, I think the psychiatrists and Freudian guys used to call that fantasizing, and to have daydreams or fantasies or thoughts are your own, and they're permitted, even if they're strange or not in keeping with what you're supposed to do. The difference is you don't act on all of those daydreams, but being able to think and be creative in your thoughts is actually a sign of good emotional health as well, provided, of course, you can control your impulses and not necessarily act on everything that comes across your mind.
No, you sure don't want to act on everything that comes across your mind, because then I don't think that would be keeping within your life's purpose. It's important also to look at the value system that you hold dear. What's important to you? And check out whether you live your life according to your value system. The studies have shown that when you do live your life according to your value system, the quality of your life is enhanced greatly, and that leads to overall happiness. And it's important to think about what you're grateful for in your life. As you think about what you're grateful for, and I've talked before about having an attitude of gratitude, and thinking about, take stock every morning when you wake up. What am I grateful for? What has made my life special? What are the good things in my life? Who are the good people in my life? What is it that I can count on? And take stock of that and see how you can even take that further for yourself.
It's very interesting you mentioned values, because some of the sociological research and writings on good social mental health and public mental health for communities include some evidence that certain values may actually be healthier for society, values of justice and values of equality as being nurtured in our society, which we have in our Constitution, as a matter of fact, in Canada, ensconced. So those values as part of that are very interesting.
Very much. And we also need to look at how we treat each other. The world is such a high-pressured place today. It's important to take some time just to reflect. Where do I fit into this whole world? How do I make my world around me better? How do I improve my life? What's going on with the relationships? Do I have close relationships? Studies have also shown that when people have closer relationships and have friends to talk to and talk things out with, that the quality of life is so much better. You don't feel alone. We're all in the same boat. No matter what we do, no matter, I'm not going to say where we live, but where we live in Canada right now, we're pretty well, most of us are in the same boat of living the same, similar types of lifestyles. Of course, there's some differences, but this is just an overall thing. You know, how are we treating each other? Are we providing kind acts for each other each day? Do we get up with a feeling of empowerment? Do we get up and feel good about how we're going to face the day? And that diffuses into our relationships and how we treat others. So that's something else we need to look at, is what are we doing to not only improve ourselves, but improve the quality of life for others around us, which is a really important thing in today's world.
As I'm listening to you, I'm having daydreams of John F. Kennedy Jr.'s speech, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. I guess you're saying, ask not what others will do for you, but what you can do for others.
Absolutely. And in fact, when you're talking about what you can do for others, you think about how you feel when you've done something good for someone else. And you don't do it for thanks. You do it out of the goodness of your heart. And you do it because it will help another person. But you still get something back from that, and you feel good about that. And that, again, hopefully would be keeping within a life value system.
Yeah, and it's interesting because some people do well for others, donate charitably, and some do it anonymously just for the sheer purpose of doing it. And that's perhaps one of the most pure ways of doing it that there is.
For sure. You know, I'm just thinking as well while we're talking about self-reflection. A lady came to me the other day and said to me she's planning to retire and she doesn't have a clue what to do with her life. I had asked her, I said, have you ever talked about, you know, thought about your life's purpose? And she said, what is that? And so I think it's important. I spoke with her a little bit about the lines we're talking now. And it was interesting. She says, you know, I've always dreamed of traveling. And then I've always dreamed of doing a particular type of volunteer work. And I said, well, can you turn that into your life's purpose? And all of a sudden, she started listing off a whole bunch of things she could do and found a direction where she could go for her retirement. And you could see that the load just lifted right off and her whole face changed and the load was lightened.
Yeah, so it's interesting to see that emotional benefit to the quality of someone's life when you're tapping into something that is meaning for them and that is a very mature or high-level form of functioning, giving back to society, altruism as a mechanism of functioning in a way to you really get back more than you put out.
For sure. And, you know, just back to when we were talking about our purpose and what that serves, when we reflect and self-reflect on what our goals, our values, and our purpose is. We also remember that we serve as a role model for others, including our own families and children. And it works really well when children are growing to look at it in that way. I know during the years in my kids' formative years, we would take time to self-reflect. And that can start at a young age as well. You can start when they're little ones and say, you know, what makes you happy? What are you good at? And have children learn to identify who they are. And it gives them confidence and it gives them the ability to know that they can achieve anything they want to. And that follows through into the teenage years. I know during my kids' years, we would always take time at every birthday to reflect. Where have you been last year? Where would you like to go this year? And it really enhances their self-esteem and the quality of their life as well. So it isn't just for old folks in middle age.
Wow, you have much deeper birthday parties than I'm used to. Usually it's a fight over the candles and who gets to lick the frosting off in our household. So, but as you speak, that again, I'm thinking that the capacity of self-reflection that you're talking about, that you're actually building an emotional skill or a capacity of, we call it self-observing ego in the technical jargon, a person's ability not just to be and act, but actually to look at themselves and observe themselves as they're acting so that they can actually think about that and make some decisions about that at the same time.
And as we have the power to do that, it really increases our self-confidence and our overall happiness. And I urge everybody today to take time to self-reflect and to take time to look at, what are you doing on this planet? What would you like to be doing? And what can you do to become the person that you want to be?
Wonderful, Fern. Thank you so much for today's Mental Health Minute podcast on self-reflection as a health prevention strategy for mental health and health promotion strategy for mental health, and really very much just a life skill applicable to everybody inside the realm of mental health or in any aspect of your life. So thank you again, Fern, for today, and hopefully we'll have you back again soon. Take care, everybody.